This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Beyond the To-Do List. My name is Eric Fisher. I'm your host, and this is the show where I talk to the people behind the productivity. This week, I'm talking to Wade Foster, co-founder and CEO of Zapier. Zapier creates easy automation by connecting different web apps automatically and creating incredibly powerful automations that you can do. In this conversation with Wade, we talk about the power of automation. We talk about how to go about starting up your first automations if you've never done it before. What things are good for automation? Is there such thing as bad automation? And even get into the realm of delegation and trusting what you've automated or delegated. It's a great conversation. I know you're going to enjoy it if you are working with people and delegating to them, as well as automation and handing things off to people or computers. This is a great episode for you to consider as you move down that road. So enjoy this conversation with Wade Foster. Well, this week it is my privilege to welcome to the show Wade Foster. Wade, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Eric.
So let's clear up the elephant in the room, or the misconception in the room. And you've had to do this, I know, because you've talked to my friend Mike Vardy and other people. A lot of people don't know how to, first off, spell, but also pronounce your company's name. And it's Zapier is the spelling. But some people would think it's Zapier. Others are saying Zapier. And you can set them straight now.
Zapier is the way to go.
Yes.
Zapier makes you happier.
Yes. Yeah. Zapier makes you happier, or Zapier is zappier than the next tool or something along those lines. So. So for those that don't know, see, for only those that do know, they would be trying to figure out how to say it better. I've heard so many people call it Zapier, and you know, like a sword, a Zapier. Oh, there's another third pronunciation actually. So there you go. But, like a Zapier, like a rapier, like a, it's a sword. And I guess you could think of this as a sword tool, but, not quite. But anyway, it's an automation tool. Can you explain what exactly Zapier is?
Yeah. So we help you set up automations between the tools you sort of most commonly use. So, you know, simple things you can set up are little rules. Like if I get an email with an attachment, save the attachments to Dropbox. Or, you know, if someone fills out the contact form on my website, go ahead and add them to my email newsletter list. And you can integrate these things. We have 1500 apps on the platform. So odds are, if you know any of the sort of web software you're using at work, we probably support it. So you can just, your creativity is a little bit the limit in terms of what the things you can set up are.
Yeah, man. And so you're the co-founder, you're the CEO. I mean, what made you think I need to create this tool that will then be almost like the Swiss Army knife of digital automation tools?
Yeah. So Brian, Mike, and I, three founders, Brian and I had been doing a lot of freelancing together before starting Zapier. And we had built a handful of sort of one-off like integrations for a few clients. We had like a PayPal QuickBooks thing. We had a WordPress form plugin that you could send things over into Salesforce with. And during my day job, I was also using the Marketo API a lot. And I'm not a great engineer, so I was struggling with it. And Brian one day messaged me during the workday and was like, hey, what if we made a thing that helped folks connect all these tools that they use at work through sort of the public APIs? You know, given our experience with our clients, given my experience at work, I was just like, holy smokes. If this exists, this would be a huge like it would eliminate a huge headache for me. So it just seemed like a fun thing to try and build. And so, you know, we teamed up with Mike and started working on this thing nights and weekends, trying to see if we could make something that people would love.
So obviously, again, you said that there's really no limit to what this can do necessarily, because it's our creativity that limits us. I don't know that a lot of people, though, are thinking in terms of, hey, I bet I could automate that. They're not thinking in terms of how can I automate and, get things done quicker, better, or even without me having to think about it, because I've already set up the process to work on its own. I don't know how people can get that, you know, can get into that mindset, but I bet maybe you can think of a way. And even like what kind of a definition of automation that you could give them that would get them to start thinking of it in that way.
Yeah. I think the word you used is a good one. It's a mindset. And mindsets sort of take a require a shift in your approach. One of our like Zapier experts actually explained it to me like this. It's not about what you have to do. It's about how is this going to get done? And so the way he thinks about it is looking at his to-do list. It's not about his to-do list. It's not, I have to go do these things. It's how will these things get done? And if you sort of zoom back and say, how will these things get done? It can sometimes let your mind go to other creative ways to solve that problem. And automation is one of those ways. You can say, hey, you know what? I can never have this task on my to-do list ever again. It can be a thing that is done in an automated way. You see folks, I think a common way that you see folks starting to think about this is, what can a virtual assistant do for me? What could I have them, what problems could they take off my plate? So once you start thinking about the world in that lens of, how is this going to get done? Not, here's the list of things that I need to do. It sort of opens yourself up to solving problems in, I think, a little bit more creative way.
Yeah. So maybe getting into what are the pain points that you have? Like if across your workflows that you normally go through day to day, you suddenly come upon an instant where you're like, man, I wish that fill in the blank would happen when I fill in the blank, then you've got a moment of, ooh, that should be a zap.
Totally.
Well, and I shouldn't say what's a zap, because a lot of people are like, wait, what's a zap? So let's define a zap inside of Zapier.
Yeah. Well, so a zap is, it's a workflow automation. It's a combination of, we call them triggers and actions. So a trigger is something like when I get an email in Gmail, and then the action would be, what do you do? So add the attachment to Dropbox is the action. And so that sort of rule that you set up becomes a zap. You would zap it, send my attachments to Dropbox.
Yeah. It's almost like dominoes, like specified dominoes. It's like, if I hit this one thing, then it knocks the next one over, and even maybe other ones, depending upon how I've built it.
Totally.
That's pretty cool. How many, I got to ask, like how many zaps in a row could you have connected, or like what's the longest string of like a workflow seen somebody create?
I've seen zaps that are over 100 steps long.
Oh, wow. I'm
not sure if that's currently the longest one or not, but I have seen them. They're impressive.
Oh my gosh. I'm not in the mindset to be creating a 100 zap automation in any way.
It's funny because I used to be the best user of Zapier, like the most power user of Zapier in the early days. I have long since relinquished that crown to many of our customers, because I am also not of the mindset of what is this 100-step zap? Like, it's so awesome that this tool has grown beyond even what I can envision I can use it for. Our customers are so creative and unique in the ways they go about using the product.
Yeah, man. And I bet that, as you've been, continue to be a CEO, you've also leaned on the side of delegation, which is kind of the word I use when it comes to, giving a person a task to do versus automation, which I always feel is kind of an autonomous thing, which makes me think of robot. So, software or otherwise.
Yeah. Give a person, you can delegate a task to a person or software though.
True.
A robot.
Yes, true. I don't want to, I don't want to limit my language there, but I just kind of feel like, you know, delegating is where I'm almost in delegating. I'm explaining the process to a person, but I guess I can explain it to a software or a machine of some sort if it's properly, if the opportunity is there for me to do that, I guess. You know, one of the things that I think is probably coming across some people's minds is it can be dangerous to automate too much. I mean, have you guys thought about the upsides as well as the downsides to automation? I mean, obviously the upside is, which you see all the time, is people are able to get rid of things off their task list because it automatically gets checked off when something else happens. It's an automation. But the downsides, what kind of downsides are there optionally?
You know, there's not a lot of downside to investing in automation in this way. You know, I think the thing that maybe most often happens is using automation in the wrong spot. I think things like when human relationships are involved, for example, and if you're sort of like automating, you know, I don't know, communication with your spouse, it's like, well, you know, maybe your spouse doesn't want to be talking to a robot. That's probably not the right spot to be doing this. So I think it's important to just think about, you know, human relationships are still a valuable part of the world. And so those are the things that I think you maybe don't want to, you want to be thoughtful about when you do automation there. Automation can still be pretty valuable. You think about like automated customer support interactions. Some of those can be really powerful if done well. But the if done well part is the important thing of that.
Yeah. So
people try and do them and they don't do them well.
So I guess the answer for me, it's not necessarily that there's downsides per se. It's that there's just improper usage.
Yeah.
And that's still somebody deciding to use it wrong. I mean, I guess it all comes down to trust, right? Trust in your delegation or trust in your automations. It's like I said, if I was talking to a person, like if I handed something off to a person, it's because one, I either can't do it anymore and I need somebody else to do it, which is also where I'd go to an automation that I'd still go, you know, I'm thinking of a, you know, like a flow chart in my head. I could either go one route where I say I delegate it to a human, or I could delegate / automate it to software, but I still have to have trust in the system, and I'm only going to gain trust by doing it and seeing that it works.
That's a critical part of automation. I think the mindset shift is that oftentimes the devil you know is the one that's familiar and comfortable and easy. Like, you know how to do this. You know, I do this task every day. Like, you know, it's not a big deal in the grand scheme of things. Yeah, it's a thing I have to do and I don't love it. And it's a little annoying. So delegating that and giving that sort of control, relinquishing control to someone else or an automation or a machine can be a little scary. And if, you know, that delegation doesn't work out the first time, it's very easy to sort of just fall back and say, you know, the devil I know is the better approach, rather than to sort of keep searching for a better way to do that thing. You see this with managers all the time who are fearful of delegating. You know, they tried delegating a thing once and, you know, a person, it didn't go so well. The job didn't get done. And now all of a sudden they kind of struggle to delegate again. So I think it's important that you don't let the sort of bad experiences like damper your, you know, ability to search for a better way.
Because the better way may be out there and you may just not even know it. I mean, again, sometimes it's task creep where, like you said, you're just not willing to let stuff go because you don't realize, again, that somebody else could be trusted, but since you're the one who's always doing it, you trust yourself. And why not? Why don't I hold on to this task? Because it doesn't take me that long to do it once a day or a couple times a day or something along those lines. But we don't realize that the amount of time that it's taking us to do it could be freed up. And there's probably somebody else that is possible to do it, as well as we're maybe not the only person uniquely qualified to be doing that. What about, you know, so trust, gaining trust, kind of getting, you know, I'm talking with humans, I'm talking with software, like inching into that trust of being able to hand stuff over. Like, what are some good first steps?
You know, I think you just start with simple things, right? Whether you're trying to learn to hand over, you know, a task to a computer or a human, you want to hand over simple things. Give it a chance to prove like, hey, it's got this. It can handle these things. And, you know, as soon as you get that first taste of it working, all of a sudden you can see what the possibilities are. And now it makes it a lot easier to try it with a bunch of different things. So a lot of it just comes down to having an open mind and being willing to give it a shot. You know, give it a try with something simple, something that's not going to hurt you if it goes wrong. And then you can see like, oh, wow, that worked. That went pretty well. You know, then it starts to be a thing where it snowballs and you start to automate more, delegate more, whatever, you know, the way how the work gets done, you realize it can get done in a bunch of different ways now.
Still searching for a great candidate for your company? Don't search, just match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch that busy work. Instead, use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. I wish I had Indeed when I was in the hiring process in roles in the past, because it is a slow, arduous headache of a process to find the right people. Or, at least it used to be, join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to find and hire great talent fast. In fact, in the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/to-do list. Just go to Indeed.com/to-do list right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/to-do list. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you enjoy Beyond the To-Do List, I invite you to check out Best Laid Plans. I'm Sarah Hart Unger, the host of Best Laid Plans, a podcast devoted to all things planning and planning adjacent. I talk about everything from paper planner reviews to deep dives into all things productivity, from keeping track of goals and tasks to fitting in your true priorities and reducing the stress around planning and organizing across different areas of life. I am a practicing physician and mother of three, so I have a lot going on in my own life, and I'm intimately familiar with the time constraints that impact us all. And I love sharing my own productivity strategies and learning from others who have their own ideas to share. I invite you to check out Best Laid Plans, available on all podcast platforms, or visit my website, theshoebox.com, theshubox.com, to learn more.
What about we've delegated or we've automated something, and we want to trust it? We really, really do. How do we not start to creep into almost hover parenting mode with that delegation or automation?
Well, I think as your trust gets built, like you probably stop to do those things, because it's pretty tedious to be a hovering parent all the time. That's not something I think a lot of us just desire to babysit, you know, mundane tasks all the time. So I think the more you build confidence and see that it works, you're not going to, that's a thing that most of us will probably not struggle to sort of turn our attention to other more fruitful and interesting problems.
Yeah. And maybe the idea here is to treat it like it's like this delegation trust building is a project in and of itself, right? Like we delegate the thing, we communicate what it is. We then put on our own task list a deadline of checking in on them in one way or the other, whether it's, you know, checking my zaps to make sure they fired or something like that. Let's come back to that in a couple moments. But just the idea of if I then put it out of my mind because it's now a task in a system that will come up when it's appropriate instead of hovering when it's not appropriate. That might help people out there learn to not hover.
Totally.
And this can be hard, but it doesn't have to be, right? Like for some people, trust me, they're listening. They're like, I tell people what to do and then I just expect them to do it. What's the problem here? You know? And luckily, again, with software, that's most of the time, like Zapier, that's what we're going to get, right?
Yeah, you get a software that just does it for you.
But we've all been there where it's like, oh man, I thought it was going to do this. And honestly, a lot of times it's probably our fault when we're building workflows. It's not the software's fault. It's, oh, right, I didn't build this part in. I wanted it to get to here. But like in my 100 workflow zap string, like, oh, string 78 or zap 78, I should say, I didn't think about what that was going to do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, computers do what we tell them to do. Like they do the exact thing literally that we tell them to do. But I look at our jobs as, you know, designers of software, designers of Zapier, our job is to make it really easy for you to tell them what to do. So you don't have to deal, you know, with the complications of that. You know, if the user ends up making a mistake, I'd like to think, you know, somewhere along the line, that was probably our fault for making the design hard.
Yeah. Well, and there you go. Like, I think even flipping again back off of software and onto humans, humans will do what we tell them to do also, but only so much as they understand what we're telling them. Same with software. Like, if we're not clear on what we're communicating we want to have done, both software and humans can easily misunderstand what we're saying because we're not saying it clearly enough.
Totally. The only difference is that computers will do exactly what you tell them to do.
Yes, like the literal. It's almost to a fault that way sometimes too, right? Because like we think we're communicating one way, and they're like, "You literally told me to do this."
Yep. Yeah. Humans, on the other hand, like they will sometimes not do what you literally tell them to do, and you're like, "Come on."
Yeah, man. Yeah. So I mean, and that's the key right there. Is like, at what point do we get into, you know, is it kind of like a, okay, here's my weekly or monthly or even quarterly, like automation, check-in, you know, like to see if I'm, you know, on task or not if I'm on task, but if the workflows that I've set up are in fact working, like have my automations fallen apart and how do I assess that? Do you guys have any kind of best practices for that?
I mean, the two things we have, we send out, like a weekly sort of email that tells you like, hey, here's what your Zaps did this week. And just gives you an update on what the sort of status of them are. And that way you can look at them and see like, hey, did that, you know, did it fire as many times as I expected? Is that number seem high or low? Like what's going on? So it allows you a chance to sort of introspect that. And at any time as well, you can click into Zapier and we have a task history that goes through, just has a bunch of logs of like all the things your Zap has done for you with a lot of nitty gritty details. So you can sort of dig under the hood a little bit and see, okay, what happened here? Did it work the way I expected? Did it not work? And then if like the Zap didn't work the way you expected, we have the ability to replay tasks and like sort of resolve errors in that task history as well, to help you sort of recover from any sort of mishaps that might have popped up.
See, and as you're telling me those, I'm thinking to myself, oh, this is kind of like when a manager has his subordinates or teammates send a weekly report or even a daily like check-in. Hey, this is what I did today. Or, hey, I have a question about this. Or, you know, does this seem right to you? Those kinds of things. And that's beautiful. I love the idea of having like a weekly email that's just like, hey, here's how your Zaps did this week.
Yep. Heads up. Here's what we did this week. You know, let me know if you want us to do more next week.
Yeah. That's great. Because then you would know that, again, back to whatever, Zap 78 in the 100 Zap string of work, that workflow, like, didn't fire correctly. Oh, crap. Well, at least now I know, you know. So it wouldn't go further than a week that you wouldn't know that something per se wasn't working how you had intended it. So you wouldn't need to jump in every single day. So
No.
And I think that's the thing for a lot of people. They're hesitant. Also, you know, it's not just the trust issue. It's the idea of they on the front end may not see the time. It's not just time saving, it's also energy savings. But both of those things put together, they don't see how much that some upfront automation setup time, which can seem like a lot, like, and be like, okay, it's going to take me an hour, but if I set up however many zaps or workflows or whatever, I'm then going to multiply that on the back end with time and energy saved. How do you get people to get behind this?
There's that great XKCD comic about saving time that talks about, like, you know, how you know, is it worth it to automate the thing? And, you know, it's pretty simple where it's like, you know, how often do you do this task? And, you know, and then how much time would you shave off if you sort of automated this task? And so, you know, things like if you do a thing 50 times a day and you save, you know, 1 second on that thing, you know, you should probably be automating it. So it, you know, but if you do a thing yearly, you know, and it only takes you a second to do that thing, yeah, probably not worth a lot of effort to try and automate that. So, you know, you can kind of run the math in your back of your head where it's like, how often do I find myself doing this stuff? How, you know, and how much attention do I spend on it? If you're doing these things fairly routine, and you're doing a lot of times per day or per week, you know, odds are, like, it's a pretty good candidate for trying to automate that stuff.
Well, there's even some of that stuff that's like in that second example you were giving there, where it's not something that you're doing multiple times a day. It's like there's a thing that happens once a week or once a month, or even, like you said, once a year, mm-hmm. where it may not take it may not be worth considering automating. But then again, the automation process for getting that one thing to happen one mm-hmm. time, very infrequently, but to just have it covered so it's off your deck completely or only shows up, like, it's almost still worth considering automation in my mind, because
to get it
out of your head, and also to have it come up at the appropriate time. Like, I'm thinking of like if you get your, if you receive all your bills via email, you know, like mm-hmm. your power bill, your electric bill or whatever. Well, one, why not? I mean, this isn't something I don't think Zapier, like, can automatically pay my bills for me. That's not necessarily a function there, but mm-hmm. I'm using this as an example where if I were to make it so that every time one of those emails comes in, though, it was pushed to Saturday morning, the next coming Saturday morning, when I would sit down to pay my bills, then mm-hmm. I've already created a workflow. I mean, the time it takes to create that probably is not much. And mm-hmm. it's now bringing the action in to my awareness at the appropriate time I've already predetermined is correct.
Totally. And you can think of these things in your life and in your job that you have to do infrequently. And so they're easy to forget. Things like, you know, updating your car insurance or whatever, like the registration on your car, you know, remembering to go see the doctor, things like that, where you don't do them often, but they're very important that you don't forget to do those things. That's good candidates for automation as well, because computers are very good at reminding you of dates and times and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. So again, and it's all that kind of, it's really a trade-off, not necessarily, I talked about the trade-off being, mm-hmm. time and energy, but there's also one other trade-off that I guess we've kind of uncovered here, which is peace of mind or alleviation of stress on your random access memory inside of your brain.
Totally. Yep.
So this is very cool. I mean, Zapier is a tool that so many people have talked about being incredibly awesome. I'm glad to talk with you about it again here, but I think other people need to check it out. Is there any kind of, like, free trial or, like, way that you can say, hey, people, come jump in over on Zapier and try it out with, like, this kind of minimal workflow? See how that works for you.
Totally. Yeah. We have a free plan that you can have that's free forever. And then you can also do a free trial for, like, our more premium services, which lets you do, like, multi-step apps and more sophisticated workflows and things like that. But the basic stuff is always free. So you can jump in and give it a try. You know, you can try and automate some things on your to-do list, whether you use things like Todoist or Trello or Asana or whatever your sort of to-do app of choice. You can, you know, have it work with your email, your calendar, your Slack, whatever the things that sort of drive your daily productivity, Zapier is there to help. So give it a try. And we have a great blog. We have a lot of Zap templates and resources that, you know, give you examples of things you could try to do on the site. So you can easily check those out and see if you find something that strikes your interest.
Very cool. Well, I will link up to everything in the show notes here. I'm going to find that comic that you mentioned because I do remember seeing that somewhere. So I'll probably drop that into the show notes as well. And Wade, it's just been awesome talking with you again. We'll have to talk again soon.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Eric.
Well, that's another episode checked off your podcast listening to-do list. I hope you enjoyed learning about automation and delegation with computers and people. Thanks again to Wade Foster for talking with me about those topics. And thank you again for listening. If you know of somebody who would enjoy hearing this conversation, would you pass this episode along to them? Let them know about this show, specifically this one, as well as a whole podcast. Like I said, this is the place in the episodes where I talk to you, the hardcore listener who is still listening at this point in time, though the conversation with the guest or solo show is over. So I really do appreciate you listening to the end. Thank you so much. Lots of great episodes coming up. Can't wait to share them with you. And until then, I'll see you next episode.